Welcome to The Future is Circular, the podcast presented by Equinil Brand. Our podcast is the meeting point where sustainability, design, and business strategy intersect to shape a better future for everyone. In each episode of The Future is Circular, we will explore a wide range of sustainability topics and unlock the secrets to how businesses can incorporate more sustainable practices. We will be featuring special guests and prominent figures that will divulge their strategies, share best practices, and provide a glimpse into the innovative approaches that are shaping the sustainable landscape. So tune in and keep your ears peeled for the valuable insights and secrets our guests will unveil.
While our eyes are drawn to the plastic mass floating around in rivers and seas, there's more beneath the surface, a silent invader, moving unnoticed, microplastics. Microplastics, tiny particles ranging in size from 100 nanometers to 5 millimeters and thinner than their parent plastics, pose challenges in measurement and identification, complicating prevention and mitigation efforts. But something is changing. After many years of research, scientists and professionals have developed a reliable microplastics identification system. The special guest of this episode is Tiziano Battistini, a chemical engineer with over 20 years of experience in the environmental sector. In 2014, Tiziano joined the Aquafil Group and now is the Research, Development and Innovation Coordinator. With Tiziano, we'll delve deeply into the world of microplastics. Hello, Tiziano. To begin our conversation, could you briefly explain what microplastics are and why they are dangerous from a scientific and technical point of view?
Yeah, Nicolo. As you defined previously, microplastics are little particles. You said also that it can reach 10th part of microns, so 100 nanometers, very, very little. Now compare this kind of dimension with the ones of red blood cells. Normally, the red blood cells have a dimension about of 5 to 10 microns, so it means that microplastic can be up to 50 to 100 times smaller than the red blood cell. So microplastic are smaller, and the smaller they are, the more they can overcome biological protective barriers, such as skin, cell, and membranes. So, let me say, thanks to their little dimension, also in some cases microplastic, they are also very light in weight, little dimension, and so can flow through the air. Flow through the air, and so can be at the end, be inhaled, and finish inside your breathing apparatus. So now consider that microplastic can contain, transport chemicals attached to them, or pathogen, or a lot of potentially toxic or harmful to human health substances. These substances can be present from the beginning. It means are added during the production of the plastic, or let me say plasticizer, dye stuff, or any other kind of chemical addition that could be done during the production. But in a lot of cases, the main problem can come from also what happened after to the plastic when it stay in the environment. It can collect a lot of things. It can collect a lot of toxic compound, chemical compounds, and also can consent the growing of pathogen substances, organisms. What about this kind of products that are attached to this microplastic? Microplastic can be used by this kind of products, chemicals and any other kind of toxic. And at the end, microplastic can be a vehicle for transporting these substances into the organism. So they collect any kind of chemical compound or biological substances, and through their dimension pass through any kind of barriers, organics and biological barriers, and after, when they are inside the organisms, can release this kind of products. And so there can start the effect of harmful or toxic substances.
So, if I understand correctly, we need to learn more about microplastics before we can reduce their impact. Aquafil, the manufacturer of Econil nylon, collaborate with STEMA CNR, a polymeric materials research innovation center, to develop a universal method for identifying and analyzing microplastic footprints in products. Can you tell us more about this important project and its benefits for businesses around the world?
Yeah, the idea of Aquafil was to be able to reduce the phenomenon of microplastic release. But in order to know about a phenomenon and be able to study it, you first of all need to be able to measure it in a unified way. Only by doing so, it is possible to compare data from all over the world of microplastic release. In a nutshell, if we all measure the same way, all the data collected can be compared. And consequently, we will be able to understand more vehemently how the variables that regulate the phenomenon of microplastic release act. By doing so, we will then be able to take action to reduce the microplastic release, thus making possible proper eco-design that consider that the minimization of the microplastic footprint. So we combine our industry knowledge and that of the National Research Council, Macromolecular Institute of Biella, to define a method that was solid, robust, and accurate for the determination of microplastic released from the textile sector. So we invest more than 5 years and a lot of resources together with UNI, the National Standardization Body, in order that ISO, the International Standardization Organization, could achieve recognition as an official method for the determination of microplastic. And in September 2023, not so far, this was finally achieved with the publication of ISO 4484 Part 2 2023, the new methodology for microplastic determination in the textile sector release.
Such progress is critical to mitigating the problem. However, considering its size, what large-scale actions do you believe policymakers can implement to help solve it?
Okay, yes. Now we need policymakers to start aiming for an eco-design that consider microplastic release. But before even setting maximum release limits, they have to somehow incentivize analysis and data collection. We know that analyses are not exactly quick nor cheap. Anyway, so a subsidy to research institutes, laboratories is required so that data can be collected quickly and consequently the phenomenon can be studied more accurately and promptly.
As a final question, we always want to provide businesses with best practices for transitioning to a circular future. Can you share 3 tips for reducing microplastic release in the fashion and design industries?
Only 3 tips. It's possible to have a lot of tips, but let me say, I will give the first 3 that I think could be the more simple in the daily activity. So the first of all is minimize the use of products from the fast fashion industry. Not because they are worse than the others, but because they are fast, so they have a very short life, and so they are increasing the quantity of waste production at the end of life. And so a lot of this kind of product could be released in the land, could be disposed in the land, in the landfill, and so at the end can release a lot of microplastic. So this is the why normally we need to reduce the fast fashion in order to reduce the microplastic release into the environment. Second tips, reduce the number of half-load washes. Maximize loads in washing machine is important because if you do half-load washes normally, you give more energy to the product that is in washing, and so higher energy can improve the breaking of fiber, can improve the release of microplastic, can improve the capacity to release microplastic to the environment. So let's reduce half load. And the third, choose more resilient fibers. Let me say, nylon or polyamide, that is the same product, is more resilient and strong than polyester or acrylic. So if you have a fiber more fragile, it will be possible to be more simply fragmented. And so it will be more simple to obtain microplastic release. On the other side, you will need to consider that also product like fleece and staple fiber contains are normally based on a lot of micro particles that could be close to microplastics. So the fibers are very short fibers in this kind of product, in fleece and staple fiber. So by this dimension, they are, let me say, microplastic-like, and so they are more voted to release microplastic.
Thank you so much, Tiziano. Super interesting for me, as well as for everyone who's going to listen to this fantastic podcast episode.
Oh, thank to you, Nicolò. It was a really pleasure for me to be here and speak with you, because it's interesting to start to speak more possible regarding this phenomenon and how we can control, manage, or minimum work to reduce its impact on the environment. So thank you. See you.
In these episodes, we delve into the silent threat of microplastics with Tiziano Battistini, exploring scientific challenges and solutions such as Aquafil and Stima CNR's innovative project. We also learned three practical tips for reducing microplastic releases, both as business owners and as citizens. First tip, minimize the use of fast fashion products. Second tip, reduce the number of half-load washes. Third tip, avoid materials such as fleece or those made of staple fibers.
Stay tuned for future episodes of The Future is Circular as we continue to explore sustainable concepts and engage with industry leaders. For more information about the Equinil brand and other sustainability-related content, please visit our website at equinil.com. And be sure to subscribe to our newsletter for updates on upcoming webinars, podcasts, and insightful articles featured in our magazine and blog. Thank you for joining us on the enlightening journey towards a sustainable future.